Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening today in Davos. President Donald Trump is actually speaking right now in Switzerland. He literally just jumped off the plane and went straight to the podium. Let's listen in.
Just 6 hours of fighting and was totally unable to defend either itself or Greenland. So the United States was then compelled. We did it. We felt an obligation to do it, to send our own forces to hold the Greenland territory. And hold it we did, at great cost and expense. They didn't have a chance of getting on it, and they tried. Denmark knows that. We literally set up bases on Greenland for Denmark. We fought for Denmark. We weren't fighting for anyone else. We were fighting to save it for Denmark. Big, beautiful piece of ice. It's hard to call it land. It's a big piece of ice. But we saved Greenland and successfully prevented our enemies from gaining a foothold in our hemisphere. So we did it for ourselves also. And then after the war, which we won it big. Without us, right now you'd all be speaking German and a little Japanese, perhaps. After the war, we gave Greenland back to Denmark. How stupid were we to do that? But we did it. But we gave it back. But how ungrateful are they now? So now our country and the world face much greater risks than it did ever before because of missiles, because of nuclear, because of weapons of warfare that I can't even talk about. 2 weeks ago, they saw weapons that nobody ever heard of. They weren't able to fire one shot at us. They said, what happened? Everything was discombobulated. They said, we've got them in our sights. Press the trigger, and nothing happened. No anti-aircraft missiles went up. There was one that went up about 30 feet and crashed down right next to the people that sent it. They said, what the hell is going on? Those defensive systems were made by Russia and by China. So they're going to go back to the drawing boards, I guess. Greenland is a vast, almost entirely uninhabited and undeveloped territory. It's sitting undefended in a key strategic location between the United States, Russia, and China. That's exactly where it is, right smack in the middle. Wasn't important nearly when we gave it back. You know, when we gave it back, it wasn't the same as it is now. It's not important for any other reason, you know, to everyone talks about the minerals. There's so many places. There's no rare earth. No such thing as rare earth. There's rare processing. But there's so much rare earth. And this to get to this rare earth, you got to go through hundreds of feet of ice. That's not the reason we need it. We need it for strategic national security and international security. This enormous, unsecured island is actually part of North America on the northern frontier of the Western Hemisphere. That's our territory. It is therefore a core national security interest of the United States of America. And in fact, it's been our policy for hundreds of years to prevent outside threats from entering our hemisphere, and we've done it very successfully. We've never been stronger than we are now. That's why American presidents have sought to purchase Greenland for nearly two centuries. You know, for two centuries, they've been trying to do it. They should have kept it after World War II, but they had a different president. That's all right. People think differently. Much more necessary now than it was at that time, however. In 2019, Denmark said that they would spend over $200 million to strengthen Greenland's defenses. But as you know, they spent less than 1% of that amount. 1%, there's no sign of Denmark there. And I say that with great respect for Denmark, whose people I love, whose leaders are very good. It's the United States alone that can protect this giant mass of land, this giant piece of ice. Develop it and improve
it. All right, we're up
it.
Against a hard commercial break. President Trump speaking in Davos. We're going to hit the pause button there to make sure you don't miss anything. And we'll be right back in about 1 minute. Don't go anywhere.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. President Donald J. Trump has landed and made his way straight to the podium in Davos, Switzerland. Right now he's speaking in front of the World Economic Forum, and it's getting interesting. Let's listen back in.
The United States alone that can protect this giant mass of land, this giant piece of ice, develop it and improve it and make it so that it's good for Europe and safe for Europe and good for us. And that's the reason I'm seeking immediate negotiations to once again discuss the acquisition of Greenland by the United States, just as we have acquired many other territories throughout our history, as many of the European nations have. They've acquired. There's nothing wrong with it. Many of them, some went in reverse, actually, if you look. Some had great, vast wealth, great, vast lands all over the world. They went in reverse. They stuck back where they started. That happens, too. But some grow. But this would not be a threat to NATO. This would greatly enhance the security of the entire alliance, the NATO alliance. The United States is treated very unfairly by NATO. I want to tell you that. And when you think about it, nobody can dispute it. We give so much and we get so little in return. And I've been a critic of NATO for many years. And yet I've done more to help NATO than any other president by far, than any other person. You wouldn't have NATO if I didn't get involved in my first term. The war with Ukraine is an example. We are thousands of miles away, separated by a giant ocean. It's a war that should have never started, and it wouldn't have started if the 2020 U.S. presidential election weren't rigged. It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's probably breaking news, but it should be. It was a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections. You need strong borders, strong elections, and ideally a good press. I always say it. Strong borders, strong elections, free, fair elections, and a fair media. The media is terrible. It's very crooked. It's very biased, terrible. But someday it'll straighten out because it's losing all credibility. Think of it. When I went in a landslide, a giant landslide, won all seven swing states, won the popular vote, won everything. And I only get negative press. That means that it has no credibility. And if they're going to get credibility, they're going to have to be fair. So you need a fair press. But you also need those other elements. And I inherited a terrible, terrible situation. If you look, the border was open. The inflation was raging. Everything was bad with the United States when I came into office. But I also inherited a mess with Ukraine and Russia, something that would have never happened. And I know Putin very well. He and I would discuss Ukraine. It was the apple of his eye, but he wasn't going to do anything. I said, Vladimir, you're not doing it. He would never have done it. It was terrible what happened. I could see it happening, too. After I left, I could see it happening. Biden had given Ukraine and NATO $350 billion, a staggering sum, $350 billion. I came in, and just like the southern border, just like inflation, just like our economy, I said, wow, this place is in trouble, meaning our country. All of these things were out of control. But the border was out of control. We fixed it with the strongest border anywhere in the world. And I've now been working on this war for 1 year, during which time I settled 8 other wars, India, Pakistan. I settled other wars that were Vladimir Putin called me, Armenia, Azerbaijan. He said, I can't believe you settled that one. They were going on for 35 years. I settled it in 1 day. And President Putin called me. He said, you know, I can't believe I've worked on that war for 10 years trying to settle it. I couldn't do it. I said, do me a favor. Focus on settling your war. Don't worry about that one. What does the United States get out of all of this work, all of this money, other than death, destruction, and massive amounts of cash going to people who don't appreciate what we do? They don't appreciate what we do. I'm talking about NATO, I'm talking about Europe. They have to work on Ukraine. We don't. The United States is very far away. We have a big, beautiful ocean separating us. We have nothing to do with it. Until I came along, NATO was only supposed to pay 2% of GDP, but they weren't paying. Most of the countries weren't paying anything. The United States was paying for virtually 100% of NATO. And I got that stopped. I said, that's not fair. But then more importantly, I got NATO to pay 5%, and now they were paying, and now they are paying. So something nobody said was possible. They said, we will never go up higher than 2%. But they went to 5%, and now they're paying the 5%. They didn't pay the 2%, and now they're paying the 5%. And they're stronger for it, and they have an excellent, by the way, Secretary General, who's possibly in the room. Mark, are you here? Yes, he's here. Hello, Mark. We never asked for anything, and we never got anything. We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force, where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay? Now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made, because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force. All the United States is asking for is a place called Greenland, where we already had it, as a trustee, but respectfully returned it back to Denmark not long ago, after we defeated the Germans, the Japanese, the Italians, and others in World War II. We gave it back to them. We were a powerful force then, but we are a much more powerful force now, after I rebuilt the military in my first term and continue to do so today. We have a budget of $1.5 trillion. We're bringing back battleships. The battleship is 100 times more powerful than the great battleships you saw in World War II, those great, big, gorgeous ships, the Missouri, the Iowa, the Alabama. Because I thought maybe we could take them out of mothballs. They said, no, sir, these ships are 100, think of that, 100 times more powerful than those big, big, magnificent pieces of art that you saw so many times ago, that you still see on television. You say, wow, what a force. 100 times, each ship, 100 times more powerful than the big battleships of the past. So that was the end of the mothball story. So what we have gotten out of NATO is nothing except to protect Europe from the Soviet Union and now Russia. I mean, we've helped them for so many years. We've never gotten anything except we pay for NATO. And we paid for many years until I came along. We paid for, in my opinion, 100% of NATO because they weren't paying their bills. And all we're asking for is to get Greenland, including right title and ownership, because you need the ownership to defend it. You can't defend it on a lease. Number one, legally, it's not defensible that way, totally. And number two, psychologically, who the hell wants to defend a license agreement or a lease, which is a large piece of ice in the middle of the ocean where, if there is a war, much of the action will take place on that piece of ice. Think of it. Those missiles would be flying right over the center of that piece of ice. All we want from Denmark for national and international security and to keep our very energetic and dangerous potential enemies at bay is this land on which we're going to build the greatest golden dome ever built. We're building a golden dome that's going to, just by its very nature, going to be defending Canada. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not. I watched your prime minister yesterday. He wasn't so grateful. But they should be grateful to us. Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements. What we did for Israel was amazing, but that's nothing compared to what we have planned for the United States, Canada, and the rest of the world. We are going to build a dome like no other. We did it. We did it for Israel. And by the way, I told Bibi, stop taking credit for the dome. That's our technology. That's our stuff. But they had a lot of courage and they were good fighters and they did a good job. And we wiped out the Iran nuclear threat like nobody can believe. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. That, Venezuela, taking down Soleimani, wiping out al-Baghdadi when he tried to reinstitute ISIS. We did a lot. I did a lot of big things, all perfectly executed. Everyone was perfectly executed. Somebody told me that, a military expert told me, sir, everything you've done has been perfectly executed. I said, I know. So other presidents have spent, whether foolishly or not, trillions and trillions of dollars on NATO and gotten absolutely nothing in return. We've never asked for anything. It's always a one-way street. Now they want us to help them with Ukraine. And let me say, we're going to. I'm really helping, not even them. I want to see, last week, if you saw, it was 10,000 soldiers, but last month it was 31,000 soldiers died. 31,000. That's this room times, the number of people in this room times 30. Think of it. 30,000 soldiers died in 1 month. The month before it was 27,000. The month before that it was 28,000. The month before that it was 25,000. It's a bloodbath over there. And that's what I want to stop. It doesn't help the United States, but these are souls. These are young people. Look like you, look like some of you right in the front row. They go to war. Their parents are so proud. Oh, there he goes, comes back. 2 weeks later, they get a call. Your son's head's been blown off. I want to stop it. It's a horrible war. It's the worst since World War II. They keep going. It'll exceed World War II. The numbers are staggering, how many people they've lost. They don't want to talk about it. Ukraine and Russia lost just tremendous amounts. And I'm dealing with President Putin, and he wants to make a deal, I believe. I'm dealing with President Zelensky, and I think he wants to make a deal. I'm meeting him today. He might be in the audience right now. But they got to get that war stopped because too many people are dying, needlessly dying. Too many souls are being lost. It's the only reason I'm interested in doing it. But in doing it, I'm helping Europe, I'm helping NATO, and I've until the last few days when I told them about Iceland, they loved me. They called me daddy, right? Last time, a very smart man said, he's our daddy. He's running it. I was like running it. I went from running it to being a terrible human being. But now what I'm asking for is a piece of ice, cold and poorly located, that can play a vital role in world peace and world protection. It's a very small ask compared to what we have given them for many, many decades. But the problem with NATO is that we'll be there for them 100%. But I'm not sure that they'd be there for us. If we gave them the call, gentlemen, we are being attacked. We're under attack by such and such a nation. I know them all very well. I'm not sure that they'd be there. I know we'd be there for them. I don't know that they'd be there for us. So with all of the money we expend, with all of the blood, sweat, and tears, I don't know that they'd be there for us. They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money. But that dip is peanuts compared to what it's gone up. And we have an unbelievable future in that stock. That stock market is going to be doubled. We're going to hit 50,000, and that stock market's going to double in a relatively short period of time because of everything that's happening. But this is a good example. After giving NATO and European nations trillions and trillions of dollars in defense, they buy our weapons. We make the greatest weapons in the world, but now we're going to make them faster, much faster. You saw that. I put a cap on the salaries, then I put no buybacks, no stock buybacks, no various other things that they were doing. I mean, they were making $50 million, but it would take them 3 years to give you a Patriot missile. I said, that's not good. My chauffeur can do a better job than that, and he makes slightly less than 50. They make big salaries. If they're going to make those big salaries, they're going to have to produce a lot faster. The good news is we have the greatest equipment in the world. Now we're going to start making it a lot faster. They're going to build additional plants. And all of the money that goes into stock buybacks is going to go into building plants. We're not allowing stock buybacks by defense companies any longer. They're going to build new plants to make Tomahawks, Patriots. We have the best equipment, F-35s. F-47, the new one just coming out. They say it's the most devastating plane, fighter jet ever. Who knows? They called it 47. If I don't like it, I'm going to take the 47 off it. I wonder why they called it 47. We'll have to think about that. But if I don't like it, I'm going to take that 47 off. But it's supposed to be the stage six. It's supposed to be the first stage six plane, undetectable, like our B-2 bombers were undetectable. They flew right over Iran. They were undetectable. And they did their job, and they got the hell out of there. So we want a piece of ice for world protection, and they won't give it. We've never asked for anything else, and we could have kept that piece of land, and we didn't. So they have a choice. You can say yes, and we will be very appreciative, or you can say no, and we will remember. A strong and secure America means a strong NATO. And that's one reason why I'm working every day to ensure our military is very powerful. Our borders are very strong. And above all, our economy is strong because national security requires economic security and economic prosperity. And we have the greatest that we've ever had. Biden and his allies destroyed our economy and gave us perhaps the worst inflation in American history. They say 48 years, I say forever, but I think 48 years is the equivalent to forever. Whether it's 48 years or ever, it's terrible, costing the typical family $33,000. What they did to this country should never, ever be forgotten. It's early. But he has to be rated as the worst president we've ever had by far. The auto pen did much of the damage. The auto pen, he was the auto pen president. Because I don't believe a sane president would have ever signed the kind of things that he signed. But now grocery prices, energy prices, airfares, mortgage rates, rent, and car payments are all coming down, and they're coming down fast. We inherited a mess. But we've done a hell of a job in 12 months. Under my most favored nation policy for drug prices, the cost of prescription drugs is coming down by up to 90%, depending on the way you calculate. You could also say 500, 600, 700, 800%. There are two ways of figuring that. But we have a favored nation's policy that every president wanted, no president was able to get. I got it, and other nations approved it. And I had to use tariffs in order to get it, because they said, no way. In other words, a pill that costs 10% in London costs $130. Think it costs $10 in London, costs $130 in New York or in Los Angeles. And I'd say, boy, that's bad. Friends of mine would say, you know, we go to London, you can buy this stuff for nothing. We go all over the world, we can buy it for nothing. Because basically, America was subsidizing every nation in the world. because presidents allowed them to get away with it. It became very tough. So when I called up Emmanuel Macron, I watched him yesterday with those beautiful sunglasses. What the hell happened? But I watched him sort of be tough. But he was at $10 for a pill. And I said, Emmanuel, and I have all the big pharmaceutical companies are in total agreement. It wasn't easy, by the way. They're tough, smart. They've been getting away with the scam for a long time. But they gave it up. But they said, you'll never get the countries to approve it. I said, why is that? Because they won't. They always said, we're not paying any more. Get the rest for the United States. So over the years, they stayed the same. We just went up, up, up. And I mean, we would pay 13, 14, 15 times more than certain countries would. So I said, no, they'll approve it 100%. Sir, you'll never get them to approve it. I said, I guarantee you. But I actually started with Emmanuel, who probably is in the room too. And I like him. I actually like him. Hard to believe, isn't it? And I said, Emmanuel, you're going to have to lift the price of that pill to $20, maybe $30. Think of that. That means it's a doubling of prescription drugs. Might be a tripling, might be a quadrupling. It's not easy. No, 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 Donald, I will not do that. I said, yes, you will, 100%. He said, no, no, no. You're asking me to double. I said, Emmanuel, you've been taking advantage of the United States for 30 years with prescription drugs. You really should do it, and you will do it. I have no doubt. In fact, I am 100% sure you're going to. No, 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 I will not do it. Because yes, in all fairness to him, he has to double or triple. Because the world being a bigger place than the United States, it's not that you meet in the middle. You just have to go up some, and we come down a lot. They go up a little, we come down a lot. So we're at $130, they're at 10. So they may have to go to 20 or 30. No more than that. I said, Emmanuel, you're going to be doubling or tripling? No, no, no. He said, here's the story, Emmanuel. The answer is you're going to do it. You're going to do it fast. And if you don't, I'm putting a 25% tariff on everything that you sell into the United States and a 100% tariff on your wines and champagnes. And that's about 10 times more than what I'm requesting. And you're going to do it. I don't want to go public with it, but you may make me do that. No, no, Donald, I will do it. I will do it. It took me, on average, 3 minutes a country saying the same thing. You will do it. They all said, no, 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 I will not do it. You're asking me to double the cost of prescription. I said, that's right, because you've been screwing us for 30 years. And they said, we will not do it. I said, that's all right. On Monday morning, we're putting a 25, 30, 50. I gave different numbers for different countries. This is also national security we're talking about. Can't not fair. We're not going to subsidize the whole world. And every one of those countries have agreed to do it. So one of the biggest things that I've done is the fact that we have now most.
All right, we're
going
to hit the pause button here as the president continues to speak in Davos. We'll get back to that in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. We have incredible sales going on at this very moment. Different discounts for different items over TheAlexJonesStore.com. Head on over there right now. We'll be right back with President Trump live in Davos.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We have an incredible lineup coming your way in just a bit. Tons of stories we're going to continue to be covering, but President Trump is still at that podium over in Davos right now, speaking in front of the World Economic Forum. And he just told European leaders that you guys call me daddy. That was his line. And man, oh man, we were cracking up on that one. But President Trump is still speaking. So let's jump on back in.
So one of the biggest things that I've done is the fact that we have now most favored nation. We will pay whatever the lowest price is in the entire world. So our drug prices are going to be coming down by staggering 90%. Again, you could say 1,000%, 2,000%. Depends on the way you want to figure it, but we'll go with the way the fake news likes it better because it sounds, can you imagine a 90% reduction sounds much worse. But drug prices are going to be coming down tremendously in all the nations, and I appreciate them doing it, but they did it. In all fairness, without tariffs, I wouldn't have been able to get it done. After declining $3,000 under Biden, real incomes are up in the United States by $2,000, $3,000, and even $5,000 and more. Home ownership has always been a symbol of health and vigor of American society, but that goal fell out of reach for millions and millions of people in the Biden era because interest rates went up so high. Today, I'm taking action to bring back this bedrock of the American dream. In recent years, Wall Street giants and institutional investment firms, many of you are here, many of you are good friends of mine, many of you are supporters. Sorry to do this to you. I'm so sorry. But you've driven up housing prices by purchasing hundreds of thousands of single-family homes, and it's been a great investment for them. Often, as much as 10% of houses on the market. You know, the crazy thing is a person can't get depreciation on a house, but when a corporation buys it, they get depreciation. Okay, that's something we're going to have to think about, too. I don't know if too many people think about that. You buy a corporation, they buy 500 houses, they buy hundreds of thousands, they buy 500 houses, they can take depreciation. A person sweats and works and buys one house, they can't. But homes are built for people, not for corporations, and America will not become a nation of renters. We're not going to do that. That's why I have signed an executive order banning large institutional investors from buying single-family homes. It's just not fair to the public. They're not able to buy a house. And I'm calling on Congress to pass that ban into permanent law, and I think they will. One of the biggest barriers to saving for a down payment has been surging credit card debt. The profit margin for credit card companies now exceeds 50%, one of the biggest. And they charge Americans interest rates of 28%, 30%, 31%, 32%. What have happened to usury? So to help our citizens recover from the Biden disaster, all caused by this horrible, just horrible president, I'm asking Congress to cap credit card interest rates at 10% for 1 year. And this will help millions of Americans save for a home. They have no idea they're paying 28%. They go out there a little late in their payment and they end up losing their house. It's terrible. To unleash innovation in savings and financing, I'm also working to ensure America remains the crypto capital of the world. And to that end, last year, I signed the landmark Genius Act into law. Now Congress is working very hard on crypto market structure legislation, Bitcoin, all of them, which I hope to sign very soon, unlocking new pathways for Americans to reach financial freedom. And I did it for two reasons. Number one, I thought it was politically good, and it was. I got tremendous political support. But more importantly, China wanted that market, too. It's just like they want the AI. And we've got that market, I think, pretty well locked up. If I didn't do it, you know, Biden was totally against it until before the election when they realized that, you know, there were millions of people voting against him over crypto. And all of a sudden they loved it very much, but it was too late. They blew it. But it is politically popular, but it's much more importantly, we have to make it so that China doesn't get the hold of it. And once they have that hold, we're not going to be able to get it back. So I'm honored to have done it. Finally, I've instructed government-backed institutions to purchase up to $200 billion in mortgage bonds to bring down interest rates. And I'll be announcing a new Fed chairman in the not-too-distant future. I think he'll do a very good job. See, I gave away some of it. He did give that away. So we have something, got something. But somebody that's very respected. They're all respected. They're all great. Everyone that I interviewed is great. Everyone could do, I think, a fantastic job. Problem is they change once they get the job. They do. You know, they're saying everything I want to hear. And then they get the job. They're locked in for 6 years. They get the job. And all of a sudden, let's raise rates a little bit. I call them, sir, we'd rather not talk about this. It's amazing how people change once they have the job. But it's too bad. Sort of disloyalty, but they got to do what they think is right. We have a terrible chairman right now. Jerome, too late Powell. He's always too late. And he's very late with interest rates, except before the election, he was just fine for the other side. So we're going to have somebody that's great, and we hope he does the right job. Last week, the average 30-year mortgage rate dropped below 6% for the first time in many years. Another major factor in driving up housing costs was the mass invasion of our borders. And I have to say one thing about housing, because nobody ever says this. I am very protective of people that already own a house. of which we have millions and millions and millions. And because we have had such a good run, the house values have gone up tremendously. And these people have become wealthy. They weren't wealthy. They become wealthy because of their house. And every time you make it more and more and more affordable for somebody to buy a house cheaply, you're actually hurting the value of those houses, obviously, because the one thing works in tandem with the other. And I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the value of people that own a house, who for the first time in their lives are walking around the streets of whatever city they're in, very proud that their house is worth $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. Now, if I want to really crush the housing market, I could do that so fast that people could buy houses, but you would destroy a lot of people that already have houses. In some cases, they've mortgaged their house, and the mortgage would be very low, and all of a sudden, the mortgage, without any changes, becomes very high, and they end up losing the house. I'm not going to hurt, and I speak with Scott, who's doing a fantastic job, and Howard, who's doing a fantastic job, and all of my people. And I always say, look, you know, I can crush the hell out of the market. We can drop interest rates to a level, and that's one thing we do want to do. That's natural. That's good for everybody. You know, the dropping of the interest rates, we should be paying a much lower interest rate than we are. We should be paying the lowest interest rate of any country in the world, because without the United States, you don't have a country. I mean, I had a case with Switzerland. We happened to be in Switzerland. Maybe I'll give you a quick story. But they were paying nothing. They make beautiful watches, great watches, Rolex, all of them. They were paying nothing to the United States when they sent their product in. And we had a $41 billion deficit, $41 billion with this beautiful place. Flew over it. Isn't it nice? So I said, let's put a 30% tariff on them, so that we get back some of it, not all of it at all. We'd still have a deficit, big deficit. We had 40, 41 million. That's a big deficit. And I said, let's put a tariff on. Different tariffs, different places. You're all party to them, in some cases victims to them. But in the end, it's a fair thing. And most of you realize that. But we put a 30% tariff on Switzerland. And all hell broke loose. They were calling, I mean, like you wouldn't believe. And I know so many people from Switzerland, credible place, credible, brilliant place. But I then realized that they're only good because of us. And there's so many other examples. I mean, us, probably other places, but a majority of the money they make is because of us, because we never charged them anything. So they come in, they sell their watches. No tariffs, no nothing. They walk away. They make $41 billion on just us. So I said, no, we can't do that. So I'm going to bring it up. I still would have a deficit pretty substantial, but I brought it up to 30%. And the, I guess,
Prime Minister, I want to jump on the speech that's going on right now in Davos. President Trump speaking in Switzerland. As many of you guys know, he arrived less than an hour ago and then went straight to the podium to deliver this speech. We're going to be following the president as he goes about his trip, because he's speaking, obviously, to a lot of world leaders. And it's going to get very, very interesting. President Trump also speaking about Jerome Powell. You heard him there. Interesting enough, too, later today, the Supreme Court is going to begin hearing that big case against Lisa Cook. As many of you guys know, she's obviously one of the top officials over at the Fed. She's been fired by President Trump. She's challenging that firing, though, saying the president doesn't have the authority. And so that's what the Supreme Court's going to be listening to later today. President Trump also making it a very big issue in regards to housing concerns as well, and how he's working on making sure that housing is, I guess, affordable for the American people, which is obviously a top priority, going after the corporations, like the guy who's running the WEF right now, BlackRock, for purchasing single-family homes and raising the cost on American citizens. That was kind of gutsy to call it out straight to his face, because obviously he is one of the many individuals destroying this country by buying up properties. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on that, though. Also, it's worth noting that a top official over in this administration also told the media that the president is not set yet to announce who's going to be replacing Jerome Powell. As many of you guys know, he's got a couple of weeks left in his position. and he is not going to be holding on to that job. So we look forward to hearing who is going to be replacing Jerome Powell. All right, I want to tell you what we got going on in this show, because it's not just WEF. We also have a great lineup of guests coming your way in just a little bit. Aaron Reitz will be joining me in studio. As many of you know, Aaron Reitz is running for Texas AG. He is the only individual who's running the race who is not a career politician, which is a big one that we like a lot. But most importantly, he is not a coward. He is actually doing his very best to push back on the Islamists who are looking to conquer Texas. And has just released a brand new campaign video just a few moments ago, releasing a brand new campaign video, which outlines his commitment to fighting off the Islamists looking to conquer Texas. So look forward to having him in studio for that. We'll also be speaking with Lyman, who is in Minneapolis. He went to the press conference yesterday. He actually was able to get a couple of questions in regards to the small businesses and the corporations who are trying to block federal agents from purchasing products in their stores in Minneapolis, as well as staying at their hotels. Wood Lyman will be joining us as well today to detail what he's learned on the ground. We'll also be joined by Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah's doing some digging, and it's the kind of digging we want. She's digging into the H-1B visa fraud that's going on all across the country, and she's just knocking on doors, not accusing anyone of anything, but they're not very happy to see Sarah when she arrives at their homes. We've got the very latest in her investigation, a little sneak peek as to what Sarah's working on. And surprise, surprise, all across Texas, guess what? Although they're dishing out these H-1B visas, it doesn't look to be that these are actual companies having dozens of H-1B visa employees working in their homes. Surprise, surprise. We'll also be joined by Raw Egg Nationalist in studio as well. He's got a new book that he just released. And so he's celebrating and joining us today over at InfoWars. We look forward to having him on the show. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about him with in regards to the MAHA movement. So he will be joining us in just a little bit, which I look forward to as well. Again, we're keeping our eye on the WEF. Now, I think it's very important that we kind of give you some overview as to what's been going on the ground. I've put together some of the most important clips I want to make sure you see, of course. Like before we jumped in, President Trump addressing the Biden regime's multiple failures in clip one. Take a listen.
I've come to this year's World Economic Forum with truly phenomenal news from America. Yesterday marked the one-year anniversary of my inauguration, and today, after 12 months back in the White House, our economy is booming, growth is exploding, productivity is surging, investment is soaring, incomes are rising. Inflation has been defeated. Our previously open and dangerous border is closed and virtually impenetrable. And the United States is in the midst of the fastest and most dramatic economic turnaround in our country's history. Under the Biden administration, America was plagued by the nightmare of stagflation, meaning low growth, and high inflation, a recipe for misery, failure, and decline. But now, after just 1 year of my policies, we are witnessing the exact opposite. Virtually no inflation and extraordinarily high economic growth.
All right, President Trump laying it all out there for the world to see, even calling out world leaders, referring to the European leaders who call him, quote, daddy. That was him. And he also went after Canada. Canada, the prime minister in Canada yesterday was absolutely disrespectful and tried going after the United States. President Trump reminding him, though, that Canada is only possible because of the U.S., because of our national security, even saying Canada lives because of the United States, and for the prime minister to remember just that. So the president's doing an incredible job calling it all the nonsense. And it's not just him. One of his great members of his cabinet, Howard Lutnick, as many of you guys know, he is doing an incredible job at calling everything out right now in Davos. And I gotta say, I was very excited when I saw him torch the globalists yesterday in clip two, and he continued it on into today as well. Take a listen.
Okay.
We are in Davos at the World Economic Forum. And the Trump administration and myself, we are here to make a very clear point. Globalization has failed the West and the United States of America. It's a failed policy. It is what the WEF has stood for, which is export, offshore, far shore, find the cheapest labor in the world, and the world is a better place for it. The fact is, it has left America behind. It has left the American workers behind. And what we are here to say is that America First is a different model, one that we encourage other countries to consider, which is that our workers come first. We can have policies that impact our workers. Sovereignty is your borders. You're entitled to have borders. You shouldn't offshore your medicine. You shouldn't offshore your semiconductors. You shouldn't offshore your entire industrial base and have it be hollowed out beneath you. You should not be dependent for that which is fundamental to your sovereignty on any other nation. And if you're going to be dependent on someone, it darn well better be your best allies. Okay? And so that is a different way of thinking. It is completely different than the WEF. I viewed the WEF as not a flagpole in the middle, but in fact, they are the flag. Whichever way the wind blew, so it blew. You should have solar. You should have wind. Why are you going to do solar and wind? Why would Europe agree to be net zero in 2030 when they don't make a battery? They don't make a battery. So if they go 2030, they are deciding to be subservient to China, who makes the batteries.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear from your officials over in the United States, making sure to represent over the WEF, telling them all that they're full of it. And we reject their globalist agenda. That is exactly what's going on right now. And we were excited to hear just that. But it's not everyone. There were some individuals, Senator Tillis, I'm referring to, who decided to take a moment when he was speaking with a independent journalist to praise the WEF and how they align with their agenda. Take a listen to clip three.
What's Trump's position on the WEF at the moment? Is he still anti, or is he for the WEF? You seem very anti-globalist.
Well, let me put it this way. I represent the Article One branch, and we're very supportive.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, cringe. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. But it's exactly the reason why President Trump's agenda is not being pushed forward and being laminated by, you know, actual legislators looking to promote it and put it into law. That's what's happening right now in this country. And that was the most direct response we've heard thus far from any official openly admitting to standing in the way of President Trump's agenda and working for the WEF puppets, of course. But there's a couple of great journalists on the ground right now, like you just saw there, going on the ground and doing just that, calling it out and trying to confront these globalist pigs. I'm talking about the good folks over at Rebel News, who this is like their annual Christmas holiday celebrations. And they're going out there, they're confronting everyone that you and I both strongly dislike. People like Justin Trudeau. Remember that guy that was a loser from Canada who now has Katy Perry as his girlfriend, the crazy one? Well, he's actually on the ground at the Davos celebration of the globalist pigs. And, well, he was confronted by the great journalist over at Rebel News, and he didn't really like it. Take a listen to clip four.
Mr. Trudeau, what are you doing here at Davos?
No comment.
How come you never comment? This is the spirit of dialogue is the name of the conference. How come you won't dialogue, Prime Minister?
You're not getting into the spirit of dialogue here.
Look at that. Who paid for you to come here? Was it taxpayers? What do you make of the Federal Court of Appeal upholding the ruling that your martial law was illegal? They said you violated...
It's good to see you, Ezra. It's been a long time. How you been? How you been keeping?
Pretty well, but you didn't speak to me.
I'm worried about you.
I don't think you have.
You stopped speaking to me after the boxing match. I never heard from you again.
That's not true. Every time we tried to come into contact with you, you had us arrested.
I never had you arrested.
You beat up my colleague David Menzies. Your bodyguards did. Your personal bodyguards beat up David Menzies.
The RCMP, the official police of Canada that you're speaking against?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're not going to trust our institutions, Ezra, there's a problem there.
I think our institutions have been weakened by you, to be quite candid.
That is your right to believe that and to feel that. And that's certainly something that you've continued to spread, people not trusting our institutions. A certain skepticism is important, but spreading of misinformation and disinformation is just... irresponsible. I think you know that, Ezra. But, you know, you've got a good little gig coming on. You've paid for all these people to come to Davos. You know, I encourage you to continue to ask questions and challenge people, but to try and do it in a way that is grounded in facts and reality.
You've introduced more censorship. Thank you very much. A conversation is not you lecturing me. A conversation is a back and forth, not you just lecturing people. You misunderstood.
You spend your time lecturing and haranguing people and creating outrage. There's no need to...
You introduce more censorship bills than any other kind of bill. You don't believe in free speech. C-63 and all your other bills are about squelching people who you disagree with.
As well, you continue to make your points, and you're more than welcome to.
So far, but not if you get your way.
Ezra, I think you know that.
Feel like you owe the Canadians an apology for...
Have a good day, sir.
Do you feel like you owe the world an apology for your behavior during COVID?
Have a good day, sir.
I think he owes Canadians more than just an apology, probably prison time for what he did to them. And it's good to see Canadians wising up a little bit and getting into the fray of all of this. Folks, they had it worse than we did here in the United States when it came to the pandemic. As many of you guys saw, the truckers were just vindicated in their most recent battle. But again, that was the man who was behind it all. You'd assume that Katy Perry, the pop singer, who was very deranged, you would assume that she'd be embarrassed to be with this man, to be walking side by side, but she's not. Maybe she's just poorly informed, but I'm sure that won't last long when she realizes he's not really a man. He's a girly girl. All right, folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. A lot happening on the American Journal today. Like I told you, we've got two guests joining us in studio today. Aaron Reitz will be with me in just a few moments, and he's got a lot to sound off on in regard to the battle of the Islamists trying to conquer Texas. We'll also be joined in studio by Raw Egg Nationalist. Now, I've known him for a while. We've actually never met in person, so it's great to see him here in Texas and joining us in studio. He's got a brand new book out that he looks forward to talking with you all about, of course. And it has a lot to do with the MAHA movement, so buckle up. That's going to be a great one. We'll also have Sarah Gonzalez joining the show as well, because Sarah's doing the unthinkable. She's actually on the ground right now throughout the DFW area, just simply asking questions for those who are using private homes, residential homes, I should say, as businesses. And they're using those businesses to apply for dozens of H-1B visas. So she just wants to know, like, where's your business at? And you'd be surprised by the response she's getting as she knocks on those doors. She's got the exclusive on all of that, and she's breaking it to us in just a few moments as well. Plus, Whit Lyman was on the ground in Minneapolis, and he's been asking all the tough questions to a lot of the top officials there. He'll join us to break down that, plus the violence he's seen unraveling over there in Minneapolis. Whit will be joining us as well. We look forward to just that. So, folks, buckle up. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because over at thealexjonesstore.com right now, we have a ton of discounts for some of your favorite items going on right now. The discounts vary. I mean, I've seen some of the supplements 45% off. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check out your favorite supplements, see if they're on sale.
Is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.